You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Makai Watch is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Hawaii Compassionate Care, Garden Island Hydro, Kauai Pharmacy, and the Homegrown Music Festival.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at HawaiiCompassionateCare.com. That's 808-854-6335 or online at HawaiiCompassionateCare.com.
Garden Island Hydro, assisting with all your growing needs. Nutrients, mediums, all-natural compost tea, lights, aquaponic and hydroponic components, systems, and setups. In the Puhi Industrial Park, Lihue. Family-owned and operated, open Monday through Saturday. More information at 246-4769. That's 246-GROW and online at GardenIslandHydro.com.
Kauai Pharmacy, an organic herbal tea farm in Kilauea, serving locally grown organic loose leaf herbal tea, freshly brewed hot and iced teas, elixirs, raw extracts, and more. The Kauai Pharmacy promotes a lifestyle of self-healing and optimal health. The Kauai Pharmacy Tea Wagon is now located at Na'ainaho Community Park, just outside of Kauai Mini Golf in Kilauea. Open Tuesday to Friday from 11 to 4 p.m. and Saturday from 9 to 1. More information at 828-6525 and online at kauaipharmacy.com. That's KAUAIFARMACY.com.
Dove presents the 14th Annual Kauai Homegrown Music Festival. Saturday and Sunday, December 13th and 14th, Church of the Pacific Outdoor Amphitheater. David and Zoe of Beats Antique, Mike Love Band, Root Hub, Chris Berry, and 20 more acts. All ages, tickets at DovePresents.com or 808-635-5556. 14th Annual Kauai Homegrown Music Festival.
Mahalo Hawaii Compassionate Care, Garden Island Hydro, Kauai Pharmacy, and the Homegrown Music Festival for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel alone, singing a song.
Aloha and welcome to Makai Watch, a program about the aina, those things that feed us, focused on information and opportunities for community involvement in the stewardship of our resources on Kauai. Makai, toward the ocean, as all things flow to the sea, and the sea is connected to you and me. The Hanalei Makai Watch program publishes the Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, now in its fourth printing. My name is Maka'ala, and I would like to thank KKCR for providing this program and Laura Christine for engineering it for us. We will be happy to take your calls after we've introduced our subject for today. Please call us at 826-7771. We'll also be running our regular contest today, so listen for the question and win a prize. If you have ideas for future shows, please let us know. Today's show is about ocean safety, and we're very fortunate to have two of Kauai's respected ocean safety folks with us in the studio. Before we begin, I want to acknowledge all of Kauai's ocean safety people, our county lifeguards, fire department, emergency responders, and others who work every day trying to keep us safe in the ocean. Kauai is certainly known for its beautiful beaches, and we want everyone to be able to enjoy them safely. First, I'd like to introduce Dr. Monty Downs. Dr. Downs is an emergency room physician on Kauai, is the president of the Kauai Lifeguard Association, and has been very involved in ocean safety for how many years, Dr. Downs?
It's going to be like 23 years, Maka'ala.
Wow, that's a very long time. You've learned many lessons and seen many sad and happy endings, I'm sure. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Please tell us how you began your involvement with ocean safety on Kauai.
Well, actually, I've been an ER doctor on Kauai since 1972, and for many years had noticed the drowning tragedies that came in and kind of lived with them. And there was a very active man in the 70s I'm blanking his name right now, but Pat will remember, who kind of tried to bring some awareness about it, but I kind of didn't stick with it. And, but 1990, one day, I had a drowning victim come in, and that's not too much work, I hate to say it. The person's already passed away, but the family is extremely challenging to work with, the terrible emotions that are involved. And I've worked with them for about an hour and a half, and just kind of very exhausting to do it, and kind of got them squared away, you might say. And about a half hour later, a second drowning victim came in, and with the same thing. And at the end of that day, I was really wiped out with those two incidents, as well as all the other things I had in the emergency room. And so that night, I sort of started calling around, is there anything going on Kauai where I can help out with some committee or something or other? And the only committee I could find, so I have to be being run by the man next to me here, Pat Durkin, and a man at the health department named Art Tawney had something going, the Kauai Water Safety Task Force. So I kind of started meeting with them and kind of a brainstorming committee, trying to figure out ideas to try and make things better, or try and help the county understand what they might be doing better, or the hotels. Anyway, that's how it started for me. After I'd been on the committee about 6 months, Pat said, hey, we're making you the chair of the committee. So
we all know how that happened.
Yeah. So that's how I started out.
Wow. Wow. From trauma.
Yeah.
Many things are birthed, yeah, from trauma. So you're also president, as I said in my intro, of the Lifeguard Association. And I see the connection, obviously, the nexus between those two interests. But I think the Lifeguard Association only includes lifeguards, so I'm wondering what they do. What is that organization about?
Actually, not at all. It's a nonprofit 501c3 that actually was started in 2006 mainly for the purpose of getting some additional funding for our incredible junior lifeguard program. Kalani Vieira, the head lifeguard, has been running the junior lifeguard program, and he knew that with the county support wasn't quite going to be able to get it to the level that he wanted to. So he and another a banker friend of his on the south side named Tom Canute put together this nonprofit with all the paperwork involved. And since then, we've branched out and have programs not only for the junior lifeguards, but also other important prevention programs that take place. And so there are lifeguards on the task force, a number of lay people on the task force, including myself and Pat are lay people. And actually, a recent member is a man who was head of the L.A. lifeguards for about 20 years and who's now retired in Princeville, a man named Don Rohrer. So he's been a very welcome new addition to our
task
force.
Yeah, that's an asset when they settle in here and bring their other experiences to Kauai.
Yeah, he's brought some real expertise to us.
I think we all know the junior lifeguard activities as being very useful and successful, and in my view at least pertinent to today's conversation and today's subject as it relates to, you know, ocean safety. I mean, if we can teach these kids young and early how to judge the hazards and how to be safe in the water, we've eliminated at least one population that we would have to be concerned about. That's terrific. And I know that all of us that go to the beach have seen some of our young people who have gone through that program offer support and assistance to people in the water. I've seen it myself where they said, you know, that's really not the best place for you to be. And people will listen, I think, sometimes to children more than they'll listen to an adult telling them that might not be the best,
best thing. I'm delighted to hear that, because there are kind of two different aspects of the junior lifeguard. There's a sort of a competitive aspect of it where we're 11 times statewide champion and go to the national championships. But there's this other part that you're talking about that I call force multipliers, where the more people we can get on the beach who have some knowledge and can share that knowledge. We have 48 lifeguards, but if we have 10,000 force multipliers, then we can really get something accomplished.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd like to remind folks that you're listening to Makai Watch and KKCR, and that if you have questions or comments, please call us, 826-7771. I am going to try to remember to say that more often. I get engrossed in the subject and lose my own little way sometimes. So thanks for being here and doing what you do, certainly, but also contributing to today's discussion. I want to also introduce a friend of mine. I've known Pat for a long time, and occasionally we've been on the opposite sides of some social issues, but we share our love of the ocean, and those of you that have lived here for a while will know that things like boating have had caused tension in the past. Pat and I have always remained friends and understand each other's perspectives, and I have the utmost respect for this part of his work and what he has made literally a career out of, trying to help us all stay safe. So welcome, Pat.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Just as I did with Dr. Downs, I'd love to hear how you got started. It sounds like your history aligns with his a bit, that you go back to the same sort of timing. He found you and you found him at some point.
Yeah, I really needed him when he came along, I'll tell you. We were starting to run out of some steam. But I started lifeguarding when I was 18 years old. And, you know, at first, and I grew up in Southern California, and lifeguarding was going through some real important changes as far as equipment and standard of care, and just professionalism was on the rise. And when I got out of college, I moved over here, and I was at a water safety class in Kapa'a, and a West Side gentleman, Liko Ho'okano, was the lifeguard supervisor. And he said, "Hey, you know, I heard you live in Hanalei. We need a lifeguard up there." 1980. And I go, "Yeah, okay." He knew I had lifeguarding background, which was kind of hard to find on the island. So I spent 10 years in that tower, that chair on the Hanalei Pier. And during that time, I became aware of not only the challenges of the beaches on Kauai, but also that our lifeguard program was prehistoric, to say the least. And I had seen, I knew what real lifeguarding should look like. And so I got into data collection, and I was inspired by Ralph Godot, who just retired from the City and County of Honolulu lifeguard program. I was inspired to take up the challenge. And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, I go, "What, you know, what?" We met at a conference in the 80s somewhere, and he was giving a slideshow and hustling for more lifeguards. And I thought, "Hey, I can do that." So that's how I got into the drowning prevention side of it.
Very cool. Fascinating little tidbit you just threw out there was that there was a lifeguard stand on the pier.
Yeah, I was the only guy on the entire North Shore.
Wow.
People would come to my house when I lived at Hobie Beck's place and go, "Hey, we heard somebody yelling for help.
Come running."
Yeah, I'd get in my VW van and drive down there.
Oh, my gosh.
It was...
So for those of our listeners that listen to us from off-island, out of the state, and across the planet, if you Google Hanalei, one of the pictures that's going to pop up immediately is our iconic pier. You'll notice that there's no lifeguard stand on it
yeah.
Today, but it is an icon of the bay, and it still exists. That's quite a story.
Yeah, well, and look what's happened since then. Now we have lifeguards at KA, Haena Beach Park, Pine Trees, and the main station there at the pavilion. So it's really come a long way since then. The first full-time lifeguard was Mark McCammy. He took over when I retired.
Yeah, we all know that word.
Yeah. And Joanne Yukimura, she was she supported lifeguarding back then when it was, there wasn't a whole lot of energy going there. But we got to her, and she understood the challenges, and she actually made Mark McCammy the first full-time lifeguard, and the station got moved to the pavilion along those lines.
Was the reason it wasn't an important aspect of our community that there weren't many drownings, or that people just figured if you made a mistake in the water and drowned, that was your story? Or
That's a good question, and it's a combination of those things. There weren't as many visitors on the North Shore.
Yeah, for sure.
And the people that lived there were really good in the water, and the people that lived on the coast, where all the vacation rentals are now, were really good in the water.
Yeah.
So when somebody got in trouble out there, you know, Bobby Cox or somebody down there is looking out their front window, and they go get them.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have, in all those residences,
people that don't have a clue.
They don't have a clue, and they're the high-risk people that have the most dangerous ocean in the United States right in front of their porch.
Wow. Even if whether they're the ones that are getting in trouble themselves, or if they think they can help, you know, some of those TVRs have boards and kayaks and things in them, and you know, it's compelling, you know, if someone's calling for help for you to go out and try, even if it's a really bad idea for you to get yourself in the story too.
Yeah, and it is a really bad idea. If you don't have the training, you don't have no business jumping in the ocean and swimming out to somebody who's sees you as flotation coming forward.
For sure.
So if I could interrupt a second. Sure. There were plenty of drownings before then.
Okay.
Kauai's, if you look at statewide statistics, there were plenty of 5 to 10 drownings a year, every year. It just didn't really get too much attention.
It didn't get attention, that's it.
And I think there was a big kind of mentality switch that I'm proud to have been a part of. The word stupid kind of came up a lot. People drowned because they were stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind changed on that one day when I had a Nobel Prize winner come into the emergency room.
Who was clearly not stupid.
He didn't drown, but had almost drowned. So he wasn't stupid. He just was uninformed. He was clueless is another word that you might use. So it really isn't stupid at all. And I've worked very hard to try and get rid of that mentality, if you'll excuse me saying stupid Howley or something, and had it coming to them because they were stupid or whatever. Anyway, to get away from that and to really work hard to, okay, they don't have a clue of these conditions. I don't have a clue of the conditions if I go up to Rocky Mountain National Park and
that's right.
Go for a hike out of my car. Let me see what we can do to give them a clue. So we work very hard at that. And Pat has a whole program called the Water Awareness and Visitor Education Program, where we work hard with the concierges at the hotels and to get them to give out good information. And I do want to give the concierges some props. They've really come on board with this. I can almost guarantee you, if you go to a concierge right now and pretend like you're a visitor and ask them some questions about the ocean, that they'll give you really good information.
And Monty has done that.
Played the role.
Yeah.
So that's been a huge step forward for us, and just to change took a little mentality switch, like I said.
I think that's important. I did. Pat was kind enough to send me the one of the reports of the very cleverly named WAVE project. It's well done, Pat. It's a very important asset, and I maybe at some point we can post it on the Honolulu Watershed Hui's website or some other places, just so that other folks have it. One of the things that I'm aware of in it is that in order to really get this thing rolling and have a comprehensive program going, you really needed some political will. And I know that in some of the work that other organizations do, specifically on the North Shore, we buck against a potential negative image for the visitor industry. And we have to, you know, we're constantly saying, you know, no, that this is a health issue. We have to pay attention to it. And visitor or not, it's important that we have this discussion, as well as offer them good information. And I'm aware of two changes certainly in the last dozen years impacting that, and one is the conversion of our visitor industry, at least on the North Shore and some of the South Shore too, to the transient vacation rental, where there is no concierge.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you have a concierge, I will tell you that even from the local fishing community and even from the local cultural population, that we recognize the loss of that concierge contact and the increase of the and you acknowledge it in your report, the increase of the find the underground place and the hidden hideaways and all the places that there is no lifeguard. That whole mechanism is being felt in a lot of different ways on Kauai, and drowning is certainly one of them. And the issue of public access has reared its ugly head. When we talk about Queen's Bath in a pier on the North Shore, that debate continues. You know, should we leave it open for those people that unknowingly go down there and get themselves in trouble? Leaving it open also for, you know, cultural uses and people that do know how to take care of themselves down there. It's a tough one. It's a tough one because we are absolutely for sale. This is, you know, this is a visitor destination, and trying to make those contacts. I fly a fair bit, more than I'd like to, and see the emergency and good ocean safety information in the airport on the monitor, and I do see people watching that. I noticed in your report the opportunity for them also to see videos maybe in the car rental office, or, you know, have we gotten anywhere with getting that kind of info on the airplanes?
No. But we always get a good laugh out of that, Monty and myself. I mean, couple times I've flown, there was no video on the airplane. I mean, you got an iPad.
We've lost that opportunity.
It's
maybe
done. That's way beyond. That's down the road. That was buggy whips. It's over.
Buggy whips. It's over.
Yeah, you make a good point though that the discussion on public access, and I'm on record. I'm opposed to closing any public access, because once you start that, especially at a place like Queen's Bath, I mean, there's places that are a lot more dangerous than that, so why don't you close that place?
Sure.
And you just open up this...
The next thing you know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we want to get started down that road.
Okay. So, for the transient vacation rentals, which, as you noted, both of you, earlier, that they are often oceanfront, and occupied by people who are adventurous and who are accustomed to travel and who may have a large group of mixed ages. We've been paying some attention, at least on the North Shore, to providing information in those locations, in those buildings, homes, related to tsunami warnings and things like that, and working on a standardized single page to tell them about a lot of other things that they don't know anything about. But maybe there could be a statement that says, this beautiful home that you're, you know, enjoying this week happens to be sitting on one of the most dangerous beaches in the world, and we encourage you to participate, but, you know, be careful or talk to your local lifeguard. When drowning victims or near drowning victims come into the ER, are they saying things? I mean, I can hear them saying, we didn't know, we didn't have a clue.
Absolutely. I hate to say it, but we had a man drowned yesterday at Larson's Beach, and so I've worked with the family, the distraught, his family, and there's beautiful conditions right now, gorgeous days, and doesn't seem like it's rough, but just it takes a 2 or 3 knot rip current to get a elderly man. This man was fairly elderly, and just trying to get him to fight against a 2 or 3 knot current might be enough to tip a borderline heart condition into a full-blown emergency, and throw in a little panic that you're getting pulled out offshore is a huge factor. If we'd love to try and get people to understand, if you are getting pulled out by a rip current, don't panic, because if you can sitting in this chair, I can hold my breath probably for 2 minutes or something. If I'm panicked, it's like 3 seconds. It just really wipes you out.
And don't, you can't fight the current. You're not going to win.
Right. some of our local people can fight a 2 or 3 knot current, but Larson's can have a rip current that even a strong local swimmer with fins actually can't fight. So yesterday the current wasn't that strong, but unfortunately it was strong enough to get him in trouble, and the family, like you say, comes in. We didn't know.
Yeah.
We really try and get the message out, please swim near a lifeguard, then you're really not going to drown, you know. But
I know we say it here on KKCR probably 10 times a day, you know,
yeah.
if you're making a choice.
But it's a message that won't be heeded. You know, people like you've mentioned, Makala, are wanting a spirit of adventure.
Sure.
So that's been a real problem. Larson's is very remote, no lifeguard anywhere around. The lifeguards did end up there on the jet ski and brought their people that were trying to rescue the person back to shore safely, so that was good.
Yeah.
It was more than one person. But so we have this strong message, please, from Bear Lifeguard, but we also recognize that it's often not going to happen, unfortunately.
Yes, yes. I think one of the questions that I was asked yesterday, we had the Waipa Kalo Festival, and I took the Watershed Hui van there, and we had state forestry and aquatics with me, and it was great, and there was a lot of people, and I had a chance to tell people that we were going to do this show today, and we're going to have this conversation, and is there a question that you'd like me to ask? And there were two highlights. The first is it mostly visitors or mostly locals? And the second question is, where's the worst? So you want to tackle
those? It's mostly visitors by 75%.
Wow, okay.
Plus or minus a little. That's up some from the old days, which makes perfect sense. And then where's the bad spot? Well, the North Shore is...
The bad spot.
Yeah, the North Shore. And technically, you know, in the studies that I do, that's Moloa to Ka.
Mm-hmm.
But then you throw in the Nepali coast, and now you've got, you know, over a 35 to 40-year period, you've got close to half the drowning data there. There is some shift going on right now. The one place on the island, and you'd least expect it, that's had the most drownings in the last 5 years, Waiohai.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the topography, the underwater geology, if you will, of the that Tombolo that's there.
Yeah.
When that gets washed out, the water flows through, and the Waiohai Bay, that's, you know, when the Tombolo is there, is a very peaceful, nice snorkeling area.
Yeah.
And it becomes a rip current, because that's how the water comes in and exits. Plus, it's such a popular area these days. So, yeah, we've had 5 drowning deaths mm-hmm. there in almost as many years. And it's, you know, even we haven't had drowning at Hanakapiai, which is the number one drowning spot on the island. There hasn't been a drowning there other than that the gal who was swept out the stream.
When the stream went, yeah.
Yeah.
She was actually in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's... But the North Shore, by far, is where we really have our concerns.
So we're going to talk a little bit about a little more about the leading cause. We know that adventurous souls, and we know that ignorance is a part of it. We know that the change in our visitor experience is a part of it. When locals drown, because there's 25% there, when locals drown. Why are they drowning? Is it opihi time or what?
Night diving. We've had two men die on a night diving expedition with their friends within the last year. And then many of us knew a man named Waimea Rick. And so great surfers. It's not a risk-free activity at all. And they rarely drown. I would drown in those conditions in a heartbeat, but expert surfers are acutely aware of how good they are, how big the ocean is that day, what their limitations are. So it's not that common, but it happens on a regular basis. Once every year or two, a really good surfer drowns. So scuba diving, with locals, it's not so much from being unaware of the possible dangers that exist in the ocean. It's just kind of things go wrong. That the night that they went night diving was a little more swell than they realized. They start get banged up against the rocks and started struggling and things went terribly wrong. So there was a really great thing that happened this last weekend. Speaking of junior lifeguards, one of our junior lifeguards, Kate Machorek, actually held a little clinic down at Kalapaki addressing the 25% of local drownings. And because most of the work that Pat and I do is actually for the 75%.
Yeah.
But she focused on the 25% and had over 70 high school kids down there learning techniques that would not only help themselves, like drown-proofing positions and things like that, but also how to help others with use of rescue tubes and surfboards. So that was a really great thing and a great way that a junior lifeguard gave back to us. And it was very, very rewarding because the KLA, Kauai Lifeguard Association, does support junior lifeguards a lot. And to have it come back to us in this way was really, really tremendous. We did have a high school boy drown about 5 years ago. He just got in a rip current, and so it can happen. That kind of drowning can happen with local people as well. But a huge one is keeping an eye on your kid. You know, it sounds automatic and a no-brainer, but boy, a kid can in 30 seconds disappear from your line of sight if you're not really locked into it. I hate to say it, but we've had some local drownings from very young people drowning that the parents just took their eye away for a couple of minutes. So
it doesn't take long. Yeah, we've all seen that, any of us beachgoers. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to KKCR, and this is Makai Watch. Today's discussion is focused on ocean safety. We have Dr. Monty Downs and Pat Durkin with us. If you have questions or comments, certainly call in. I'm going to give you the question, I think, because I think we've said enough that might actually, I think we'll get there with it. So the question for today is rather obvious. What is the leading cause of most drownings, whether it's here in Hawaii or someplace else? And we're learning as we go with this program, and today Laura Christine actually knows the answer. And we need you to call 826-7771 with the answer. And the prize, as usual, until you help me get more creative, is the 2015 Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, which I want to say has a whole brand new cover on it. So it's going to be a collector's item, I promise. Okay, so we'll let Laura start taking calls. And at some point, the balance shifted politically as well, in the political will. And I read in your report that Mayor Kusaka actually initiated some county effort. And that's what I was referring to earlier when I talked about, we don't want to hang our dirty laundry. We don't want to tell our bad stories. We don't want to scare our visitors. They're our bread and butter. But at some point, you just have to acknowledge that more information is better. And Mayor Kusaka started to help.
Yeah, she definitely, history will show that we turned the corner during her two administrations. And there's kind of an interesting story that goes with it. The first thing she did when she came into office was she closed down the KA Beach lifeguard station for liability concerns.
Yeah.
And that just, I mean, we'd spent a lot of time getting the funding from the state. It was the first state-funded lifeguard program. And so I went ballistic on that. And I'm a pretty cool head, but that was, I couldn't take it. And so there was an article that I'd written in the Garden Island, railing her for it. And I get a call from Mr. Resentes Sr. was there, and he goes, "Is this Pat Durkin?" "Yes." And he goes, "Mayor wants to see you." And I go, "Oh, okay.
This isn't going to be
but
good."
But she's in the Philippines right now, and she'll get a hold of you. So I had to, like, stew for, like, 5 days. Kind of knew what it was all about. Anyway, we went in there. Bernard Cavallo was in there. He was with Parks and Recs at the time.
Yes.
In fact, he was my boss when I was in Parks and Recs. That was his first job with the county, was overseeing a lifeguard program.
Wow.
Yeah, so I can still call him.
Yeah, no kidding. That's good to know.
Yeah. He doesn't always listen to me, but that's okay. But anyway, so I go and we meet, and, you know, she's in there. I go in, and the door closes. Here's Bernard, like, yeah. He's like, if you think you're leaving, you got to go
not,
to the game,
yeah.
Right? So we had a one-hour conversation, and I explained my point of view and what we were doing and where we were at. And for some, and I don't want to take any credit for this, but I think she started that she took a look at where we were and the fact that this was something that was important to her. She saw the value in it. And, boy, from then on, it was Blazing Saddles. I mean, we had three new lifeguard stations. She opened up Kealia, expanded Hanalei to Ke Kaha. I mean, she jumped all over it, really. And then we've had a lot of the mayors that have followed have been very supportive, including our current mayor right now. And we've had backing them up, I think, is important, too, because Kusaka had Dave Sproat in there with fire. And that was kind of his kuleana. And he was, he's a fisherman. And I mean, he knew the issues. And so he backed her up where he needed to, even though, because the firemen were making all these rescues.
Yeah.
And so he could see the value in a lifeguard program that was halfway decent. And now we have, Mr. Westerman, who's just, he's the greatest.
He's in it to win it, yeah.
He's in it to win it. He's winning it.
We have a caller who wants to go on the air.
Sure.
Okay. Caller, are you there? Not there.
Not so much. It's all right, caller.
Are you there, caller?
Okay, Laura's going to take it off air, and we'll take your comment that way. We've been having a little bit of difficulty with phones, and this might be a good moment for me to just take a breath and also remind folks that the air conditioning unit at KKCR has taken a dive, no pun intended, and we certainly need your support to replace that. It's not uncomfortable here right now, but the equipment doesn't like it. So as the AC challenge continues, we probably will be seeing more and more equipment glitches, because electronics doesn't want to be hot. It wants to be cool. So, Laura, maybe we can take a little break here. Do you have that track, Laura? Are you... She's...
Oh, yeah.
can I...
Sure.
Make a quick comment.
Absolutely.
So Pat's talked about how the county has really stepped up as you say, developed a political will in this regard. And I mean, we've gone from 11 lifeguards in 1990 to 48 today. That's really strong.
Wow.
We have actually more lifeguards per capita than any other county.
That's fascinating.
So we've really come a long way. I do want to challenge this current administration, and we're going to be writing up what we call a four-year plan. We've been at 10 towers for, it's going to be 8 or 9 years now, and I really think it's time to get a new tower, an 11th tower, and just expand our services. There's some, it's not 100% agreed where that 11th tower should be.
Okay, obviously, I was just going to ask, where do you...
Should it be a Black Pod, or it should, unfortunately, it has to be at a county beach park.
Sure.
So, I mean, an obvious place I'd love to see a tower, for example, would be Kalapaki, but it's not a county beach park. And once it's not a county beach park, you've got attorneys going for years trying to get it ironed out.
Of course.
It has to be at a county beach park. And the county beach parks that are out there at this point are Black Pot and Anini. So that's a challenge that I'm going to be making to the current administration. Hey, let's go from 10 to 11. Which is no easy thing, by the way, to have one tower a year cost $400,000.
So, I don't think any of us have any idea about that.
And in an era where counties are trying to talk about not,
saving money,
not having money, it's a huge challenge. But I really think we should do that in the next 4 years.
So. I think we are saving money if we're saving lives.
Yeah.
So you just need to look at it.
That
way.
I think I might have the caller this time.
Okay, let's do this. We're nothing if we're not flexible.
Caller, are you in the air?
Kinda, sorta.
Yeah.
No. Not talking. Can you hear me, caller?
Well, you don't think it's Laura's mic. Can you hear me?
Oh, maybe you got cut off again.
Okay. So why don't we do this? Laura, why don't you play that? Let's give ourselves a bit of a break and sort this out a bit.
Caller, are you on the air? Hello?
Laura, why don't we go to that music, and then
we'll
take a short break and let them stop shaking their heads.
All right.
Okay.
to the edge. We're stepping up, we're jumping off, don't know where we're going. We're getting closer to the end. Push them up them seas, and jump on it. Rising, the tide is coming, and you're sleeping, you're sleeping, you're sleeping. The load is heavy, we're all tied up. No more thinking, more thinking, more thinking. You can read every book there is, calculate time like a quiz. There's streets to showbiz, we're all in this together. Trip off, skip, tumble down. Don't make out just standing around. The righteous sound, we're all in. We're jumping off, don't know where we're going. We're getting closer to the end. Push them up them seas, and jump on it.
You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is the Makaiwatch Show. I'm Maka'ala, and our guests today are Dr. Monty Downs and Pat Durkin. We took a little break there to try and sort out the phones, and they are or they aren't getting
started. So I talked to the caller, and he was talking about possibly starting a like a Big Brother type of program, where local people from certain areas could, you know, take people to the beach and show them that area. Because he was saying, like, even local people, when they go to the south side, they don't necessarily know the conditions over there, and they can get in trouble. And so trying to have, like, a little hooey's of Big Brother programs where people would hang out at the beach and help tourists. And
you know, that's a great idea. And Monty mentioned the Kauai Water Safety Task Force, which was started in the early 80s through the Department of Health. We've had a lot of really good ideas that come through there, and the best ideas are the one that has somebody like that with the energy behind it
right.
to get the train out of the station.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's here. We've got him.
Yay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I was listening to the situations at hand, you know, throughout the conversation you guys was having, and I thought of a program where, you know, somehow we could get some funding or get some kind of grants going where we could have people stationed at hotels around the island, and they could, you know, basically be like some kind of Big Brother program where, you know, they talk to the tourists, find out what they're going to do for the day, if they are going to go to the beaches, if they are going to try and snorkel, or what they're going to do, because, you know, basically the local people know where to go. And then, like I was saying earlier, if you're from the west side and you go to Hanalei, you know, obviously you're not going to know the weather all the time down there. So, you know, we have to stick to the areas, the different avapuas on the island where it would suit that person. And you know, I think it would save a lot of lives. It would help because, you know, the people would be at the hotels. And, you know, I think the tourists would love it, you know, to have a chaperone to go with them. And, you know, it wouldn't have to be a big charge or anything. It would be mostly to try and help the community and, you know, make something somehow where the person could get paid or tipped or whatever it might be, you know, and then they would feel safe, you know, arrive safe, and they would arrive back safe. You know, what do you guys think about that?
You know, I just want to butt in for a second before Pat and Dr. Downs answer to say, when you were talking, especially because of your local sounding voice, as a young girl on Oahu, I certainly had my butt saved a couple of times by the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was taught to surf by the Beach Boys. They didn't care that I was from there. They didn't care whether I looked local or not. They didn't want me to get into trouble. And they were very stern. They weren't trying to be my buddy or my pal. They were trying to be a teacher. And the other thing that we've talked about a little bit off air is the concept of a public-private partnership. And what you're broaching is a little bit akin to that. It's a little bit like that. Pat, what are you thinking?
We're actually working on that right now. I appreciate the caller's comments because, you know, that is the Beach Boy concept. And, you know, the last Beach Boy on Kauai was Percy Kinimaka, who...
Mm-hmm. Kalapaki.
Yeah, he was a wonderful person. I got to know him for a while there. And that style is gone. Or, I mean, you can still get some of it. There's bits of it around. But what we're looking at now is modernizing the idea. And,
yeah.
Like... Every one of us that works, if you're a bartender or a waiter or you work at a surf company, I mean, what you say to people, I mean, when...
It matters. It matters in you know, in their ears, because they'll go back to the mainland and say, hey, it's really safe on Kauai. There's
exactly.
People there that will help you, people there that will give you the helping hand. I mean, basically, that's what Aloha is all about. When the tourists come to the island, they see local people, and then they share the aloha with them, as well as being with them is another thing also, because it opens a horizon for a lot of different windows for the people in the community and the businesses here on the island. You know, because you come to the island, you want to see local people, and you want to be with local people. If I go to New Zealand, I want to see New Zealand people.
Yeah.
I want to be in their grasp and be safe with them. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to just go somewhere and not be safe and not know where you're going, how to do it, and then you go and you're dumbfounded and you get hurt. So
yeah.
Then you have a tragedy, and you know everybody's like, you know what? What can we do to prevent such a thing that could actually help people and give them that aloha that they deserve when they come to the Hawaiian Islands?
I think that's an amazing concept and a thought and a sentiment that we all hold dear and need to find ways to bring back and that kind of program or that kind of aloha should be international as well. I will tell you, you know, I'm not a Kauai girl. I'm a Kaneohe girl. I have never been in the water at Poipu. I have never been in the water at Kealia. I learned a couple of things from those Beach Boys, and that was don't go where you know stay. You don't know where
yep.
you are, then don't get in the water. And
yep.
and in traveling, learning to look around, what is everybody else doing? Is everybody
exactly.
else in the water? Is nobody else in the water? I've seen people
right.
drive up to Haena and screech to a halt in their rental car, throw the doors open, fly out, race down the beach, and fall
yeah.
into the water, and there's nobody else in the water. And their
exactly.
perception of that is, look, we have the whole place to ourselves. Not, there's a reason that you have the whole place to yourself. Yeah, this isn't a safe place to be. There was people yesterday, it was really interesting, because the tide was low most of the day yesterday during the Kawa Festival. And the Kala Festival at Waipa is right on the beach in Hanawei. And the tide was low, the waves were pretty good size, and the wind was bucking it a little bit, but you could see where the wave wash had come right up to the grassy area. And here we were with 1,000 or more people new to the island, and they wanted to go wander out on the beach. And we were all looking at our tide calendars very carefully to help them understand that, you see, this appearance of this beach here means that, you know, you're probably not going to be safe here for much longer, because that water's coming back. Information like that to people that may have never seen a beach in their lives.
Yeah. A lot of people that come on vacation, they don't really know about beaches.
That's right.
I mean, they're from Texas, or they're from places where there aren't any beaches at all. And, you know, all they see is a sandy beach, and they want to get in the ocean.
Yeah, you know, call it that.
They're not akamai of the situations that they're getting themselves into. You know, and we don't have people at every beach stating, oh, this area has riptide, this area is no good, this area has rock, this area has reef, this area get fauna. You know, because if you step on vana, you know, that thing within your feet, they're going to grow until you take it out. You might not know 25 years from now, it might still be in there.
True enough.
You know, it's just a lot of different possibilities that, I mean, if you really think about it, the local people would love to do something like this. But it has to be in the hands of the local people, because they're the ones that know. We're the ones that know where we can go, where we cannot go. We get people come on the island that experiment. You know, they're not really sure of what they're doing.
That's the biggest adventure they've ever had.
The locals know the ocean.
You know, we
travel the world in kayaks.
Well, this is Dr. Downs.
Thank you, single man canoes.
We can go out there and we can look at the stars and we can tell you exactly which way to go, which way you cannot go, what you can do and what you cannot do.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for bringing our attention to that. Dr. Downs, you have something you'd like to
add? I love your local aloha spirit. That's what we need. And we have a lot of it. And I've mentioned already the concierges, I think, are really good at it. And there's more and more local people like you with this aloha spirit. And I knew one lady who was a checkout clerk at Foodland, and every person that checked out should call me every now and say, Dr. Downs, I've been doing a really good job of telling them to be careful. So I love your spirit. Getting it organized is really the challenge, this Big Brother program.
I wouldn't say it really be a challenge. You know, when you need to get something done, you just gotta go through them.
Yeah, sometimes that sounds good, but it's harder. We're gonna let Dr. Downs and Pat comment, because I think, caller, that they've been thinking along the same lines, and I think there's some other ways that maybe we can get something like this organized and
it would be such a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Keep life safe.
Yes. Thank you so much.
People don't know, they will, you know, can go home to their families.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much for your call. And aloha. Keep listening, because they have something to guide you here, I think.
It reminds me, the caller's spot on, and I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do have something going on called the Wave Project, where we're going to different communities, primarily through their neighborhoods or through the hotels, and just, I mean, how many of you out there, listeners, know where the 10 lifeguard locations are on the island? So if somebody came up to you and, you know, you give them some advice like, hey, you know, there's a rip current right there, and, okay, well, where should we go? Well, if you can direct them, at least start them off at a lifeguard tower, at least to ask for current information, like, hey, how is it? We're thinking about going over to Queen's Bath, and, you know, how is it over there? But it reminds me of a story where I was cross-country skiing, and we were going down this path, and we obviously, and there's other skiers coming the other way, and we must have had this certain gait or look, and we go by, and we go, say, yeah, hi, yeah, and they go, and we go, hey, how's it up there? And they go, well, no problem, just turn around before the avalanche area.
Oops.
And, you know, I looked at my friend, and I go,
avalanche.
what's that look like? You know, so that the hazards are hidden in the ocean, like they are in other environments, and it really is going to come down to you and me at the beach with our families, seeing somebody doing something that we know is risky, and going up to them, and the hard part is going to be to deliver the bad news in a way that they'll take it, and they won't feel like, oh man, you're demeaning me, and you know, hey, you know, I surf.
Yeah.
You know,
or the one I get all the time, which is, I've been coming here for years.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we own some.
We did get a winner.
Oh, good.
Congratulate Malibu Dave as we're winding down.
Oh, Malibu Dave, you cheated. He already knew that.
And we had another caller. He didn't want to go on the air, but he wanted to say he loves Pat Durkin. And thanks for all you do.
All right. Cool. Thanks. Well, I appreciate nice. That.
That's always good to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've talked about the evolution of water safety here, and there's, you know, Monty, we have this team thing we do now. I don't really like being out in the public all that much unless I'm teaching a class or something. And Monty has really become the face of water safety, the guy that people recognize and listen to, a lot of it because of his background, training, and experience, and his ability to articulate the issues. And I get to feed him stuff. And, you know, we bounce things off of each other. And I think, you know, things really took off when he got involved. And more people got sucked into this, the issues, you know, including government and the resort industry. You know, drownings are bad for business.
Yeah.
Especially when you have 18 like we did in 2008. And when most of them are their clients are drowning. So we've had a lot of things going on, but you know, it's with having Monty come into the picture when he did was really critical to the whole evolution of where we're now. And he's a reputation. We call him the junkyard dog because if we got to deal with the chief or the mayor,
if people wanted to find out more information on their own, because we're closing up here. Do you have any, like, website information?
Or? Yeah, we're going to talk about kauaiexplorer.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Pat said, I'm completely unaware, there's a Kauai Beach app.
Yeah, Kauai Beach app, iTunes, apparently gone from 99 cents to free.
Yeah.
Well, that's always good.
But really, for those of you that want to have the daily information because you are dealing with visitors, go to kauaiexplorer.com, Winston Wellborn. Born and raised here on the North Shore, you know, his staff updates that website every morning with call-ins from the 10 lifeguard towers. So you can go on there and you will see the conditions every morning at those 10 locations. You'll get maps. There's tons of good information. It should be your first stop if you're a visitor here.
And I know that in your report, too, you thought about or recommended the idea of some cameras in different locations and having, you know, the potential for people to pull up a picture of what that looks like. I mean, you know,
that's coming. It's kind of a difficult topic to get in right now.
Yeah, no, I'm just the idea. We'll just dangle it out there, and then people will say, come back and tell us more.
Well, surfers already have it. Go to Surfline. They check the surf right in their office. So, I mean, that's
a good thing.
Yeah.
So
do we have a minute?
We have 1 minute. Go.
Okay, yeah, very quickly, I have to mention the rescue tubes that KLA has set up on the beaches around Kauai. And we were worried when we put them out there that would people be using them that shouldn't be using them, that shouldn't be going in the water at all. We've been really blessed that we've had just nothing but really great things happen because of them, basically a flotation device. And we've had a lot of programs teaching people how to use them. And if you have fins, please use your fins. But even 2 weeks ago at Hanakapea, we had a off-duty lifeguard from the mainland save somebody from certain death with his fins and a rescue tube. So we've been very lucky.
That's
with this
wonderful
program.
And I know people are really respecting them. They're not showing up as toys on the beach.
Except at Hanalei Pier.
Oh dear.
They've been very disrespectful out there.
Okay, Hanalei folks, stop it. Yeah. Those are important things. Thank you so much. And we'll do this again as soon as the next step comes. Thank you. Mahalo.
Okay, mahalo.
Singing a song side by side.
Okay, we can talk. course.
Don't know what's coming to my